social system, Varnashram is the system. There's no superior system. But because it's a system for humans, that's where the rubber is. Most people nowadays aren't coming from a human background. Therefore, without them, what are they going to do? At the same time, as Varnashram can only be followed by a human. That's why without devotional service, you can't follow Varnashram. There are some who are pious enough, they'll be born as humans. Shudras, nonetheless, but humans. But most, you find, are born, they're subhumans. Means in this age, you're not going to be able to follow Varnashram without basically devotional service. Or having previously followed it on the human platform. And there's some residue that left in this life. So they may be following some aspects of Varnashram, but its actual purpose is connected to Krishna. You go into Hindu families, and you'll find some Hindu families who are human and who still follow, the mothers still take care of the kids, they're respecting the mothers, and there's interaction in that. But that's pretty much just like what you see now. You can be happy that you saw it. Yeah, but you can write it in your book, and a few years it's gone. There'll be still a few people here and there, but in millions and millions of people, Hindus following it, that's a thing of the past. When you see the 40-year-old Hindu mother in blue jeans, then you know it's gone. You know what I'm saying? They don't know how to cook, they don't know, but what do they know? Any Hindu girls know. They have a degree in accountancy, or this, or that, or bar. They wouldn't know how to boil water without butter. Right? And now it's like this. You have the senses have to be pleased, right? They're conditioned. Now, eating is something you have to do. Mating is something you don't necessarily have to do. Okay. Now, if you eat something really mediocre, at some point you want something more out of the senses. Where are you going to get it? In the contemporary environment. Means sense. It's the only thing that would give a very strong, intense experience. Because where are the relationships? That the mother has cooked this for the child, or for the husband, or for that. And that's the taste in the food, is that she's cooked it for you. Therefore, it's so expertly cooked. Not that she's an expert cook, she's an expert cook, because she wants to please the other members of the family. So, therefore, instead of getting a very high level of intense sensual experience by nice cooking in the family, by the mother, or by the wife, or by the daughter, then the man gets it for sex. And sex gets old real fast. Because you can get more variety out of cooking than you can out of sex. You know what I'm saying? You can take a potato and, you know, 1,000 preparations. You can't get 1,000 things to do in sex. So they get real or fast. So what they do is they figure changing partners is where you create variety. Okay? So now this modern girl, great. But how is she going to hold this family? She can't cook. And how long can a girl go on putting on a show of great ecstasy and sex that keeps the man interested? After a while, it gets pretty boring. Right? So unless she's taken it, there's something serious here, and even that's only a movie. Right? In real life, you know, girls who are that much into it, after a while, just go, this is terrible. But because men are into it, they have men, therefore they go along with it. But it doesn't have any meaning other than the intimacy or the need, but actual as far as the senses. You know what I'm saying? So so therefore you create this whole artificial thing, just taking one thing, just cooking. Let alone cleaning and knowing how to create a septic environment, let alone being satisfied, other things they know how to create, family interaction, all these different things they don't know. Mother knows, and she doesn't want her daughter to be, because that's considered low grade. But the mother is in such illusion, she thinks everything's going to go on. She may get some of it, because by association, the daughter will pick up some unconscious elements, so she will, but the grandchildren aren't going to pick up much at all. And there's a good chance that that grandmother is going to end up in a whole day home. Then she'll understand. Very good chance. I would take it. A lot of these young Hindus in nuclear families, they're not going to. They're not going to, you know, keep their mother and father. Why? They're going to. They want to listen to them talk all day about, you know, Hindu this, Hindu that. And at the same time, as if they're not worried about Hindu this, Hindu that. Who wants an old fuddy-duddy around who can't chew, who can't do anything, when you're having a party? I'm saying, even if they do completely modernize, you know, people don't have a party with their parents. Westerners don't. Even if they're out, the parents go to their own party. You know what I'm saying? So even from you take that, they're missing the point. See, they're thinking they're going to taste all the Western things that people do alone, not with their parents, as a family. You know, so in the beginning it comes out to be a little bit, but after a while it doesn't. So these are things that the Hindus are missing. So you do find some humans, but it is going there. So the whole point is without knowledge of what's going on, without connecting with Krishna, then it's not Daiva Varnashram. If it's not Daiva Varnashram, we're not interested. We're only interested in Daiva Varnashram. Varnashram on its own, for the purpose of Varnashram, has no interest. Of course it's pious, it gives less trouble on certain levels, but on other levels it gives more. Like you take Nepal. In Nepal, it's a Hindu country, it's a Hindu king, and they have Hindu ministers who are smartens, who don't like devotees, the Shiva ministers. So therefore, we've been in Nepal for, you know, 30 years preaching. Our society is still not registered, because the smarta Brahmins won't allow it to be registered. So sometimes, you know, non-devotional Vedic culture can go against the principles of, you know, like you have a Shaivite king. He's following Varnashram, but he's established that no one can worship Vishnu in his kingdom. What's the use? And it's the other way around, like Vishnupur in North Bengal, you have the king was converted to a devotee by Srinivasacharya. He made a decree that everybody in his kingdom has to be Gaudiya Vaishnava. But if not, you can leave. So everybody who all the smartness left. So it was only. So then there, devotionally, it's helping. But if it's just Varnashram without devotional service, it's useless.
So when you talk about
basically, but you have to know the science. Like we say, we're going to institute, you know, motherhood. It means it's inherent there, just that people have to know how to operate. Prabhupada already established it. He's given all the directions. You just have to know how to operate. But if you don't know what it is, how do you, like if, okay, you're a woman. Now, you have to interact with other people. Unless you know what a woman is, one, how you will be satisfied yourself, how you interact with other women. You can't know what a woman is, how you know what a man is. And therefore, then if you don't know the science of what is male and what is female, how is it socially going to work? You can't work. Because it's based on male-female principles. You can't get away from it. Everything is that male-female. Maybe directly as far as sexual or indirectly. Like you have parent-child. The parent is the masculine, the child is the feminine. Or the masculine servant. You know what I'm saying? You always have that point. Somebody's somebody is the shelter of an act, of a particular rasa, they act in a way to bring it out to the other person. You're in a funny mood. Your friend comes along. You start to joke with him. Then you're taking the feminine role, and they then take the masculine, and that they'll respond to your laughter. Then from that, they may take it again and again and take it farther. You know? They may take it farther. You know what I'm saying? But in any case, it's going to go by this is confidence. See? That lady is wearing a petticoat. That's what it is. It's a petticoat. But because you use cloth other than what a petticoat is made out of, it's called a dress. But because you wear your petticoat with confidence, then people who are wearing saris look at it and think, wow, maybe I should be wearing that. Right? So in other words, if you wear your clothes with confidence, that this is what I'm supposed to be wearing, then it's fine. That's the whole point. Whoever's the most confident is who wins. Think about it. When you get together and there's some little nipping on, you know, about who's wearing what, if the person who doesn't give in wins. Maybe they didn't win the battle, but they won the war. You know, the person got in the last word to criticize their dress, but when they walk away, that person's still wearing that dress, and the other person who criticized will go out and buy it. Like that. If you do that, point is if you're not comfortable with yourself, how will anyone else be? That's the point. Because that's how rasa works. You are an ashray to others as isha. It's what is your mood is what you're going to draw from them. So either it will be you're not confident, so you'll draw from someone else's lack of confidence, and then you'll sit there commiserating with each other. Or you're going to be unconfident, you're going to draw from them overconfident. You know, and then that way it will make you feel less confident. You know. But you're going to draw something. So it's just the science. That's what we're saying. It's a whole science. It's a whole, you know, social science. It's this whole psychology of how it functions. Devotees aren't picking up on that. Many are, but I'm just saying this is very generic, that in general they're not picking up on it. So they think a varnashram is some kind of rules and regulations of just management or economics. It's not. Varnashram is the science of social interaction. To interact, you have to have money, you have to have a census, you have to have a form, you have to have attachment, all that has to be there. But the point is the purpose of it is to establish relationship. There's no other reason for it. There's absolutely no other reason for it. Like that. Does that make sense? So those who know it, that's what they're getting from it. Economics, all those are side things. Many follow it just because they know it's more pious, and if you do that, you get more money. The pious business persons many times follow because of that. But at the same time, as they know, this is where the relationships are. The point is that's where mundane relationship is. Okay? So interesting point will be just like this. The grihastha will come forward and say, why do we need varnashram? Why can't we just deal on devotional service? Marriage is not part of devotional service. You ever heard of it as one of the nine principles of devotional service? Shravanam, kirtanam, vivaha, smaranam, adhisevanam. You understand? So that's the point. The only place where marriage has a foundation is in varnashram. Because that means varnashram is religion. Even Western marriages are based on religion. Now they've separated it. But But even then, they'll keep it within morality. When you go to the notary public for your 5-minute marriage, you know, whatever you light in the candle, whatever you may have done, the first thing they will do is lecture you about the importance of fidelity and morality and all that. Because it's understood there must be some kind of religion. But it's actually part of religion. Religion means we're not. So that's what is always amusing. I didn't mention that in the beginning, because you didn't say anything fanatic. If you had, you would have got that stuff done right in the beginning. But since it wasn't, then we took this and now it's pointed out is that the point is, and why do we have, this is why is there a temple president? It's obvious that the person who could manage is the one that would get it done. But for the conditioned soul, because position and control is so important, you have to say, this person is the president and everybody else has got to follow him. In a society of permanences, you don't have to do that. It's based on relationship. Radharani is the head because of relationship, not that she's been named, you know, okay, she's, you know, in this position. She takes that position because of, so you can either formalize it or not. Hand you this whenever that kind of need is there, that person does. And it's constant. They just do it. It's automatically understood. But it's just like you say, yeah. Does that make some sense? You have to formalize it. Like in Japanese martial arts, you have the belt system. You start a white belt and ends up in some color, black man, some color. Right? But in China, they don't do it like that. It has nothing to do with it. You just come in, and when you know the science, you know it. So you're either a master, or you're studying to become one. But you will see in the West, the prominent thing is always the Japanese. Even those who are from Chinese schools adopt it, just so it's understandable by the Westerners who are in this. But otherwise for them, it's automatic. Just like in Chinese homes, there's many things that are not, you don't have to define, at least that's what I've seen. Like who cooks? It's whoever would be the most efficient to do it. Because both husband and wife can cook equally well. It's not considered feminine or a lack of masculinity to cook. The husband comes home first from work, he cooks. The wife comes home, she cooks. You know, this is some big festival because the men can deal with the bigger thing and get less of anxiety, they cook and the women assist. You know, so it's just, it's there. They can wear the same clothes and they don't, it's not a trip, it's not some unisex trip. It doesn't matter. The women can be top martial artists, they can kill you in a second, but they'll still be feminine. Their movements are still feminine. When a martial artist moves in martial arts, she's feminine and still feminine. Because there's no need. There's no need that there's that. It's just so you don't have to define it. Who holds the baby? It's whoever would hold it. You have to feed the baby. The man can't do that, so the wife holds it. But they're in the elevator, and she's got to get something out of it. The man holds it. It doesn't matter. Completely different concept. But in Wu, the man's a man, woman's a woman. And it was very, very subtle. Many times you tell the difference between the Oriental man and the Oriental woman. Very subtle. Too subtle for the Westerners. But it's there. So these kind of things are the science, if it's known, it can function. Because they know what's masculine, feminine, principle. And because of that, it's not a problem. So that's the thing. Men know what they're doing, what they are. Women know what they are. And then the duties, then it's whatever's special. And it's not scientifically done like that. It's just what it works. If you go back maybe before all their many cultural revolutions, when they used to have culture. Cultural revolution means how to remove culture. How to revolutionize culture so it isn't there. Okay? That's okay. So there may have been a little bit more distinguishing roles, but much of the time it wasn't. It was like, generally men were into martial arts, but a woman's into it, it didn't matter. You'd have women samurais, it didn't matter as long as they were samurai. If they weren't, they weren't. It didn't matter. The woman could be the empress. It didn't matter if she was good. It's not that she'd get killed in the politics.
It would seem like Indian society was definite distinctions. I mean, there's a
difference. Yes, because there's what works more. Because the point is well, the woman empress, she'll have more anxiety than a man emperor. Like, have you ever heard of an emperor that there was some, what do you call it? Rival. And when they actually got on top, they were number two, and when they got on number one, when they caught the person, cut off their arms and legs and stuck them in their jaw. You ever heard of the emperor? And then when they sit there and yell and scream so much because there is so much more passion, you know, the person in the jar, then they come and cut out the tongue. But they keep them in the jar just so they know they can blow, that they finally got the person. You ever heard of the man? No, the Chinese emphasis. So there's still women. So that means that anxiety and that is still there. It burns them. So it will be increased because of that. Already it's bad enough in whatever the men are. They know they can blow, that they finally got the person. You ever heard of the man? No, the Chinese emphasis. So there's still women. So that means that anxiety and that is still there. It burns them. So it will be increased because of that. Already it's bad enough in whatever the natural position, let alone the increasing. So it's not that they can't do it, but it grates against their nature, so they actually suffer. You know what I'm saying? So that's why in the Vedas it won't be done. But it's not that it doesn't have. The king manages the kingdom, the woman, the wife manages, the queen manages the palace. You know, I mean, you know what it is like to take care of your own palace. Increase that by 10,000. Plus add in so many thousands of servants. Plus add in a budget that's in the millions of billions of dollars. You know, the king hosts so many other royal princes along with each of their servants. When Gayatri Devi said they had 500 house servants. It's just, I think, three or four of them. That's all it was. Right? 500 servants. House. When they would travel, they would have their own bogies. They would take two bogies. One bogey was for the three of them. The other bogey was for, I think, 120 servants they took with them. They always traveled 120 servants. Right? So now, and they're going to visit another royal family. Now, that's one. Now you have a marriage. How many come? And they all come like that. So you have 1,000, you know, royalty come. You're talking about 10s or 20s or 30s or 40s of thousands of servants that come with them. Who's managing that? Who? The social, big social function the king will do, but the prasad that they're going to serve to 20,000 people, that's the queen's business. That's household. Now that's not managing. You bring me the CEO of any company that's a woman who can do that. And if there's a point where they don't, then the men, big service and all that, the men will. If it's too out of hand or they have to bring in men, then the men will. So wherever's the line where it's uncomfortable for women to do it, that's what the man does. Where it's not, the woman. So it's all based on what is inherent nature. So it's based on rasa. But if the men don't know it's woman, they won't be sensitive to where the line is. The women don't know it's woman. They won't know what the line is. So that's why the modern people is suffering. They suffer like that. You have to work very hard to convince me that the modern, you know, household is not happy. You really have to work very hard. I mean, I go to their house, they invite me to their house, I eat. Like that. The association is nice, but you can't tell me the food's good. Some places it is. It's the rare place you go, they know how to cook. If you go to, you know, traditional Indian families, each one is a better cook than the other. But you go to Western houses, it's rare you find someone in their room. It's especially if they're health fanatics, then whatever little bit was there, you know, in the way of some salt or some butter, which all they got, then that's removed, and it's like, you know, what's the use? You know, steamed gouda. Mmm, delicious. You know, it's like, you know, so it's like, they don't know, it just doesn't happen. Health food doesn't taste good because the concept of it is great. You're eating it and thinking how good it is for your health. That's what tastes good about health food. You know, the food itself doesn't necessarily taste good. There's one or two health things that are tasty, but most aren't. Right? It's not the lettuce, it's not that, it's what they put on the lettuce that makes it tasty. So therefore, and then so what are the kids and the men? So therefore, video games and they're out with their friends and, you know, in the house, how much? Because the house, the mother is not preparing snacks. Right? It's not like a Gujarati house where every 45 minutes and there's snacks going out in the kitchen. So therefore, since they don't know how to cook, where do the kids get things to eat? Outside, you go to the ice cream parlors, the fast food places and all that. So it's really a trip to be in your house and go out, come back and then go out again after what happened. So therefore you just stay out. Or you just go hopping from one to the next. You go out to the cinema, then you get something to eat, then you go out to, you know, another fast food, then you go down to this and then you go to that. And then the mother wonders why they're not at the house, because there's nothing to eat. That's why they're not at the house. Yeah, manage means out in the front manage. And everything. Like you manage to comb your hair. You manage to get the toothpaste under your toothbrush. You get the cat clothes. But managing means like in a position, social position. Managing your position. But otherwise, women manage when it's in their field. Because out of that field, they go nuts. It's just like this. The woman's in the house. She's cooking. The baby's crying. The phone's ringing. The doorbell's ringing. Does she freak out? No. She goes out, picks up the baby, picks up the phone, you know, this is that, goes out to the door with all that happening at once and a big smile on her face. Can a man do that? No. You know, in fact, the phone goes through the window, the this, the that. They can't handle that. But you put them out in the office where, you know, they're out in the street, they're striking out there, the people that are there are freaking out, you know, the IRS just showed up at the door. And they just go, okay, we deal with this, 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 this. That's where the women are. Women can do it. They can be the CEO, but for how long? You don't see 60-year-old women as CEOs. They do it in their late 20s, early 30s, maybe into their 40s, and then 50, they find someone who they can take shelter of and retire. You know? That's the point. Don't marry a guy who's more powerful than them. They'll finally figure out what they're looking for. You know? And that. And they'll marry a guy who's powerful. They'll know what to look for. What is power? It's not the little, what was that guy? Something Michael's ears and stuff like that. James Michael's ears. The EHPs. All the men love that. It's stupid. You know? They think it's very... Yeah, that they think is very masculine, the George Michaels, so, you know, gay, you know? And so, and all the women think it's stupid, but, you know, they think it's, you know, whatever. So, the women figure out exactly what they're looking for, and then they target that and marry that. You know, and then they're satisfied. So, you know, that they can say they've done it, right? Your theme in all the movies. The lady's not just the wall, she's someone, she's qualified. She is the vice chair, she's about to become the president. She is the mayor of the town. She is the head of the research. She is the that. She's made it. But she always ends up at the end of the movie surrendering to the guy who's just that much more qualified that she can be. Always. Every movie ends that way. Because that's the way it is. But they want to prove that, no, we're not just wallflowers. We can do it, but we can do it, but we can have it. it's okay. It's been done. So the Vedic is, why go through and waste 23 years of your life? You could have been home with your kids. You could have had a nice family life instead of wasting it out there, instead of starting it all when you're 50. You're hoping that your kids are going to come around and visit you. So that's the whole thing, is that devotees are looking for this. So it's not a matter we have to come down to our ashram. It's a matter the devotees have already come down anyway. Now it's just a matter they want to make it scientific and get something out of it, or they want to go on floundering and, you know, they'll be just as dissatisfied in their present family condition as they were as temple devotees, where seemingly there was no family. You know what I'm saying? They were living in the brahmachari ashram, the wife of the brahmachari in the ashram, and met 1 hour a day. They probably got more out of that 1 hour they did talk to each other, than the couple who lives at home, and they may not even get an hour because she's got to go out to the spa and he's got to, you know, meet with some business thing, and they bump into each other now and again. That was probably 1 hour of quality time, you know? But grahastas, so supposedly they got 24-7, but there's no 24. That's the illusion. That in grihastha life is 24/7, you know, social interaction. No. Without duties, where does the 24/7 come? The wife knows that she's taking care of the house and the kids and all that for the husband. The husband knows he's out of the office all day, you know, getting money for the wife. That makes it that then there's that emotion. And the husband is happy. I remember when somebody was talking to very well, I think it was Hindu. They're older, you know, 50s right now. Some of them got the sickness. But this was about 10 years ago. They would have been in the 50s, you know, still young enough. And, you know, they're Sindhis, you know, so the Sindhis is not, you know, typical. The older they get, kind of the more they expand, right? So, and his wife is no different, right? So somebody mentioned, he says, you know, basically speaking, you're one of the wealthiest men in the world. And, you know, you're not old. You know, you're not gone. So has the thought ever come up, because a lot of people do it, that, you know, while you're with, you know, the woman you're with, you could go out and there's, you know, there's probably millions of younger girls who would be very happy to, you know, spend time with them while you're with your wife. Not doing those things because so many other people are. And the guy saying, no, there's other people. He says, you know, my wife has raised my children, she's taking care. So that's what the relationship is. It's not because she was beautiful and useful in the sense of gratification. It's because of the duties that she's performed that pleased him. That gratefulness, how could she ever do that? How could he ever give that up? That and the other thing is to say, he said, you know, I had many gentlemen say, there's nothing left in household or life, there's no taste, but my wife's such a good cook, you can't go, because he knows anywhere else you go, you won't get the food, because even though other women are as good at cooks, but the wife knows exactly what you want, how you want the dal, how you want this, what menus, what variety, so it's the key. If it works out for you, the point is it depends on the values of the family. That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. If the values of the family are knowledge, in the Brahminical circle, then knowledge and all that. And so therefore that might be seen. As long as it's a bleed and you're sure that he's not just saying that just to please you. Right? Yeah, so then they don't have to worry. But you should not take it for granted that when you do have opportunity, you should make sure that you know that, you know, he's suffering with, you know, the microwave dinners. So therefore that you should see that he's taking care of you. You know what I'm saying? The reciprocating. That because the point is household life is there for a purpose. You got into it for a purpose. And he got into it for a purpose. So you have to see is that what was your purpose is and what are his purposes. And so depending on the values, then it's there. Europeans can do it much more. I would say the Anglo-Saxons are the ones that have a real tough time. They're actually the ones that suffer the most. All the others have less trouble. Somehow or the other, the modern social, you know, ineptitude is basically the birthright of Anglo-Saxons. They're the most, have the most of them. And those who are closer generally to Europe, more connected with Europe, have a little less problem than those who disconnect themselves from Europe. So, therefore, the Americans have the most trouble. And they have the most social difficulty, and they have no idea. Absolutely don't know. So they try to create this, but I've seen the Europeans, not that the Europeans, there's no problem. I mean, somebody has to be at home with the kids or this or that, you know, kids have grown up with, and, but, you know, they have these big festivals that devotees go to, you know, so then one time the wife goes, one time the husband goes, depending on who can get the break and this and that and what's happening. You know, let's say exams are coming up and the husband generally deals with exams, so he stays back. So the wife goes, or something, she deals with exams, so he goes, or there's something else. It's very fluid. But somehow or another, the Anglo-Saxon thing is that unless you do it in a seemingly masculine way, then there's no taste, because there's no taste in it at all. But somehow or another, because the taste that men get out of doing something is the control of it. Women somehow or another think they're going to do masculine things and get feminine taste out of it. That's why you can't do it. It doesn't work. You know, because the taste a man gets out of doing something is simply the element of the control. He doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. It's different. I mean, so it's just like the man may do some service to the woman. The woman actually enjoys the service. The man enjoys that he's being served. The service he may or may not notice. Unless he specifically is refined in that area, he can appreciate it. That the wife is serving him food, that she could serve him a steamed shoe, and he wouldn't notice the difference. Unless he knows the culinary science, he could feed him anything, he wouldn't know. But just that she's done it for him and is serving him, that's what makes him happy. But the woman, it's the taste of it and the interaction of it and all that. It's completely different feel. So this thing saying they're one, these are said by people who have absolutely no idea what they're talking about. So that's what Prabhupada said, they can't be in a marriage because they really don't know, unless they have that support. It means it shouldn't be done, but if it's done, it has to be with very much backup. You have to know what is the science, you have to be always judging. A man, it can run, and then now and again, you look at the woman, you have to be constantly looking at it. Because it only takes a moment to throw a woman off. A man, it kind of goes like this. But a woman, it's basically, it's like you put dots, and it moves from one to the next. And all it takes is a word or something. Something's going very nice, they're in ecstasy like this, and then they do something hurts their finger. Then the pain overshadows all the happiness that was there. It resets the whole experience back to zero. So unless somebody is there to really take it and bring it back up to there, it's going to start, and then from whatever else it was, it'll go off somewhere else. The women, it's just normal. The man is going, what just happened? Right? You're having a nice conversation, laughing, joking, and all that. Somebody goes off to the bathroom. The man goes off to the bathroom. He expects to come back and laugh, joke, and continue. The woman is like, that's over. Now, because you can't be bored while they go to the bathroom, you start to do something else. And then when they come back, you're getting a taste from that. You want to continue that. You think, what are we doing this? You understand? So it's a completely different concept of how it functions. That's what Prabhupada says. Men will never understand women, women will never understand them. They're two different beliefs. Something like this? Does that make sense? You can get an idea enough to make it work. You can never understand. It's there. It means as long as it's there, but it still has to be managed as a woman. You know what I'm saying? means you still have to use the feminine interactions and all that and feelings. You can't use the masculine. Just because the woman's in charge, now she doesn't become the very nasty person. There's an angel. It's within biology, they categorize it in the canine. Right? So nobody appreciates it. Huh? All her aggression, what she expects back. A man can do something just because he's supposed to, and just because he's done it, that's good enough. Or if he's got a little bit more need, that someone recognizes, that's enough. You know. And then if he's more materialistic, then there has to be some, you know, ongoing response. A woman doesn't do anything unless it's going to get a result. You don't smile at somebody unless you think, I'm going to get something back from you. Therefore, it's like the man, you know, brings his friends over and this and that. The woman, you know, has to deal like that, but it gets very painful because she doesn't see what she's going to get back out of it unless it's obvious. Therefore, it breaks down. So she's going to do stuff and manage stuff, and she's going to expect all the people are going to respond and all that. Women, they don't want somebody on top of them that's doing the same thing they're doing. You know, so it's not a great thing. So it can, you have to be very, very careful how it's done. It can be, but then it has to be. You can do it only if there's common values, and only if that woman has a male support somewhere. Krishna, guru, you know, other male members of the community they can fall back on, or husband, or son, father. Somebody has to be there. Because otherwise, it's too volatile, the feminine psyche, to be stable enough to make things run consistently. Because that's the point. The man's freaking out, but he does the work. Woman, the moment she starts to freak, generally the work stops. Unless it's small and in connection with relationship. Okay, the woman's freaking, it's really bad because the child's hungry. She feeds the child, not in the greatest way, not with the greatest attention, but she does it only because she attaches to the child. But if it's something that has nothing to do with attachment, or it's not going to get her a specific material benefit, the moment that that anxiety and that comes up, that becomes prominent, everything else takes second place. She doesn't do that. If by not doing that job she's going to lose security or facility, then only she'll do it. But if it's not a matter of that, she won't. So if it's the position in the company is very important, or the payroll or something else, then maybe it'll push it on. All these principles are all there in men, you just drop it down a few steps. It's not as intense. So therefore it moves like this on the side way, and all the women will see it like that. You know, so there are those points where this went up here and that, the man only went that. So at this point it crosses again. You know, and then the woman goes down like that, but the man only goes like that. Because of those moments when they're going in the same direction. Therefore you can say it's a common experience. Man goes to the restaurant, you know, the food was nice, and you know, it was basically a hassle-free environment. So he was comfortable. Right? That's what he notices. The woman is the decor, the this, the that, and all these things put together. The man on his own doesn't notice it. He may notice it, one is if he's a connoisseur, then only on that, that's his science. Or he knows that this is what women like, so he'll see that he gets a place like that, takes the woman that he knows will appreciate it, and then cashes in on her happy experience. But otherwise, for him, it doesn't matter. As long as it's edible, that's really good. For a woman, it's the experience.
We have ways that people can use Krishna, manifest Krishna,
she just has to be, have her pulse on the point of freakout. And she has to understand that when she freaks out at home, okay, the people there tolerate it because of their attachment to what she does for them. But if she's in a managerial position, the people around her just think she's a nasty woman. That's all. They're under no obligation. The problem is the woman will think they're under as much obligation as the family members are. And there it's based on biological attachment, while the other one is just in the position. But because they're a woman, generally they'll deal a little more carefully, except the other women. So you might find the men aren't saying anything. And the woman is thinking, the men aren't saying anything, why are the women all complaining? But that's only because the men are, because she's a woman, therefore there's some consideration. They're not accepting her as a man.
Do you think if she's very deeply steeped in Krishna, except that there's less chance of picking up?
It can be, but you have to, it depends on the individual. That depends on where you use and the charm and what your abilities are and all these things. If you can do it, great. But you have to be very sensitive about sharing your distresses with everyone else, because they're in that job to do a job, especially if it's men. They're not there to listen to your head fall apart 10,000 pieces. That's not what they pay for, and they're not about to do it. They have to do it, it's the only way to have a job, but they'll do it for a short time and they'll find another job. So you're finding the women are complaining, men are pleasant, but they're kind of like going and getting jobs otherwise. That means you're doing a bad job. It's not so bad that they're just going to come up and blow you away, but it's bad enough that they just can't handle it. But if everybody's happy, it's working, it's dynamic, great, as long as it works. But it's as a devotee, simply is you have the Krishna consciousness can create stability. But still, you have to deal with the feminine nature, because the Krishna consciousness will bring you more to a Vedic standard. But still, Brahmin women still freak even in small feminine. You know, someone said something that other women may for 3 days be upset. Brahmin woman maybe for a moment that flares up and says this and that, and then gets onto it, and within a few minutes she's got it back together. When that flares, a lot of damage. Other women, what are they? They already got their own problem. Just because you're the boss, you got to hear the boss. No, they have a relationship with you. That's personal, then they'll do it. Then, if you have that kind of a thing, then the women are happy. It's part of that. They love to discuss these things, so they're happy to discuss it with you. But the men, absolutely, that's not where you need it. They'll tolerate it with their own women, and they tolerate it with the boss. Like, they're not being paid. You want them to do that, you pay them extra. Then they can do it. And even then, they'll only do it for a short time. Men can't handle it. It's just not the feel. Emotional freak-out is not what they know. Men can function with very minimal emotion. What is there has to be so common. They don't know it, so they don't even know what it is. So they don't feel it. When it's feel, there's emotion. So therefore, it has to be full. It doesn't have to be good or bad. It just has to be full. Better a bad experience than no experience, right? But for a man, he'd rather have no experience than a bad experience. On the emotional part. That's why men think so. So it can be done, but you always have to watch. You always have to be sensitive to what is it people will talk about. Very hard, because consistency is maintained by attachment. So that means you either have to be attached to the position, or attached to the devotees in the position, or what you're working with, or results that come from that. But because of that element to it, it does put a cloud on it. So they're attached to the position means that someone else more qualified than more can be supportive. It's attached to the facility, that's not good enough, because when the facility is there, the tendency is not to do the job good. Or this attachment to the people, then you start dealing with them as if they are family members, but then that means the positive is nice, but the negative is not. You know, then you gotta share the bad day. The family has to. Other people don't. That's why women expand through generally family or more people. Right? Man can have a friend here and a friend over there and a friend there, and there's no connection between them. woman, it's they have this friend, and that's connected to this one, and then they may have someone who kind of get to know, and then expands to that one, and then they have a daughter, you get to know her, and then her husband is then, so it expands, you know, through relationship. And a man, it's not like that. It's a different system. So what they'll do is then they'll expect, and then they'll expect the same kind of loyalty as a family member. And there, and especially men, it's just a job. You know, okay, you're the president now, and you say we go out on Harinam at 9 o'clock. So okay, boss, we do it. But then when someone else comes along who may seem to be a better manager and all that, and you're kind of like tired of, you know, having to sit around and listen to when she's got a bad day. And then they come along and there's some discussion of who should be the president, should it be this lady or this person, and then they choose this person, then this lady will figure let down as if her own family member was not the one. Right? Which is unnecessary. The woman's going to suffer and the men are going, huh? But sure, I'm going to do it. So they can't understand. The woman's, you don't understand, and I thought here, and then she becomes bitter and all iskan. It's just that you projected what should have been in the house to what's outside the house, and then it just went back to your suffering. But yeah, if they knew their own nature, then they would know this is going to come up. You're ready for it. Just like women can abuse, that's okay. They're advanced and all that, fine, but they have to be able to live with the point of having disciples that walk out on them, or even speak against them. It happens to the men, then the, okay, I have to be more careful, I have to raise the standards. For the women, they don't know. Prabhupada gives the whole science because he's explaining what's there, why it's there. But look that there's a, what is it doing by relationship? Right? What is being created? So then you have to see more. It's just like the experience. The woman doesn't go out of the house, so that means everything she needs has to be in that house. Nowadays, men don't have to work very hard because everything the woman needs is outside. But previously, had all been in the house. So that means the men are working harder for them. And because of, it's just like this. You have a, let's say you have a lady, she hasn't really talked with anybody all day. Somebody comes along to talk to her, is she going to talk to them? Yeah. Is it going to be just a light talk? No, it's going to be a very serious talk. Right? Okay. Now, but if she's been talking and busy and out all day and all that, she's been at the job and all that, she comes home, and she's tired. The woman's tired, does she like to talk? No. The man's tired if he has to, so he'll talk. Or if there's some emotional opportunity, he'll talk. Because emotion is a woman's field. She's already experiencing emotion, now the emotion is tired. So she doesn't talk. So, therefore, what's the quality of relationship in the house? It's not very good. I'm not saying she should be alone, she should be alone. But what I'm saying is, okay, she's not many men in the environment, and then when a man does come into the environment, then the interaction with the man is different. Men expect things to be stated. They cannot understand that today, oh, you're so wonderful, and a pat on the head, and a stroke on the cheek, and the next day they don't even notice. Men cannot understand it. Absolutely cannot understand it. This is because that was the emotion, and there was nothing else happening, and they were just expressing how they feel. Same feelings are there the next day, but something else is more prominent in what was happening. So therefore, then that, you know, that. So it goes. You know, that's the whole thing. So that's the thing. It's when someone's taken for granted, that's when the relationship breaks down. So the Vedic thing is how to keep the relationship fresh as it can be. You know, it won't keep it fresh forever, to keep a, you know, a marriage working for 20, 30, 40 years. But at some time, it just becomes okay. That's enough. You know? Unless the attachment's so great, then okay, it goes, but, you know, it goes, the women are unsatisfied, and the man, you know, has to lead a very demeaning life. So, you know, it works. But where it's dynamic and both parties are respected, it has a short lifespan, 20, 30 years. Because beyond that, the women don't really respect the man. The woman has to take care of the man. He's not providing. So a relationship past that, attachments, you know the person, you know, they've done things for you, you kind of owe. But it drops. So that respect, that dynamic respect is lost. Right? That's why in the Vedic culture, they retire. They become vanaprastha. So then if the woman wants to follow the man into that environment, yes. Shudra stays at home and lives with the wife all day, but at the end of life, you know.
It's a system. Huh?
It's perfectly made. But you know the science and you know devotion and how to connect it. It's very dynamic. If you only know the science and not devotion, or devotion not the science, then socially be a problem. But even if you have a terrible social life, still you can go back to God.